Hello and welcome to another episode of the Full Force Weekly, brought to you by GeneralsJoesReborn.com with me as your host, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. For today's episode, I'm joined by the awesome Patrick Not Picard Stewart. In this regular video series, we round up all the week's news in the world of G.I. Joe. What is it, Pat?
It's the Full Force Weekly.
Yes, it is. Happy Saturday morning, everybody, all our viewers and listeners that are flowing into the comments already. Pat, how are you doing this good morning, my good man?
Doing okay. Feeling a lot better than yesterday.
Oh, what happened yesterday?
I don't know. I just had a headache all day.
Oh, it's probably the stress of thinking you had to do this show the next day.
No, it wasn't that.
Awesome.
It's a stress reliever, right?
Is it?
I don't have to do any work. You do all the work.
I do all the work for this. It's a nice relief at the end when it's like, oh, that's all nice and finished. No, I'm kidding. Hello to everyone in the comments. Loads of you flying in already. Hello, Ryan, David, Diecast, Nick, Slave, Michael, A Punk with Toys, Toy Hunters Hollow, Michelle, Ed, Tac. Loads of you jumping in. Morning cheese bags and everybody in all over the place as well. UK, US, wherever you are, wherever you're watching it. Thank you very much for joining in. Now, it's been quite an interesting week of news. Lots of stuff has happened, lots of interesting elements. And of course, we got the very fun and awesome opportunity to chat with Emily and Lenny, which was pretty cool. So we'll be discussing that interview a little bit later on, because obviously quite a lot of cool stuff came out of that. Oh, one thing I just noticed, I think there was something I forgot to put into... I've forgotten what it's called now, the slideshow. I'm just going to quickly double check. And if so, then I'll just keep talking at the beginning here, Pat, and we'll mess about until
you're
I fix
me
it.
This is like there's suspense right now because I have no idea what you're talking about.
I can't believe if I have forgot to put it in that I did forget to put it in. There's an absolute moron that I am. And it probably is in there. I just didn't notice it when I was going through. I could have sworn I put it in there, though. Just got to wait for this to load up. This takes ages, sorry. Anyway, while we're here, Pat, how have you been, buddy? What have you been up to this week?
More editing.
I can confirm that Chris has actually forgotten to do something in the thing. So what's going to happen now is, like, so smoothly while I talk and do this at the same time, I'm going to fit something else in.
So it's just going to be completely a surprise to me. That's cool.
Yeah, it's complete surprise. So I still don't know. This is hilarious. I always do this. I thought I'd done everything I needed to do.
I'm almost scared of what's going to show up.
It's the best part of the interview, in my opinion, is what I've missed out.
Okay.
I think you know what it is.
Yeah, well, okay. I probably don't.
Yeah,
I found
it. I
have to confess, I didn't really have time yet to watch the interview. I've had a busy week.
I gave you the cliff notes. I gave you the cliff notes, so
you
it's
did.
Fine.
Yes.
Pat has enough information to work on.
But I'm just admitting that I haven't seen the whole thing.
Well... You'll be happy to know.
I'm apologizing again this week.
You'll be happy to know I have fixed it, but now I need to do some other aspects, which is going to be really annoying for people. I'm going to see if I can. Okay. Right. Now, hopefully, this doesn't take over the whole screen and ruin everything, which it could do. I have had this happen in the past. But. If all works well, we'll be moving on in a few seconds and I can just relax again. I can't believe I forgot to put this in the slideshow today. We are back in the game, Pat. Right, okay. Let's move on. Let's get to the first news story. And actually, this is one of the biggest news stories because it's not just about, well, it's not really about G.I. Joe at all, but it does concern two absolute giants in the toy industry. Wow, didn't see this one coming. Even after we joked about the need for a new G.I. Joe Jurassic Park crossover on the most recent monthly.
It's going to be a landmark event where Hasbro and Mattel finally knock down that barrier between them and do a Jurassic Park kind of G.I. Joe hybrid thing.
Justin called that one randomly. Hasbro and Mattel have come together to strike a multi-year licensing agreement to cross-brand their toys and games. The move has been made just as both companies ramp up for big Hollywood movies based on their own brands. Mattel's Barbie and Hasbro's Transformers Rise of the Beasts are both set to release this summer, and they are the focal point of the press release. The deal will allow Hasbro to create a Barbie Monopoly game to launch in the fall, and it will give Mattel the chance to produce Transformers-branded Uno games set for release later in the year. Mattel will also be producing Transformers Hot Wheels in early 2024, which begs the question, will we be getting any G.I. Joe crossovers with Mattel-based lines? There were no mentions of any other brands beyond Barbie and Transformers, and it makes sense to team up like this when there are potential blockbusters in the making, and it saves each company stretching to create merchandise or lines that the other already produces. With all the recent negative financial reports from both companies, I can see why they are teaming up in this way, in order to protect themselves somewhat. It will be interesting to see how both films perform and how that affects toy, game, and merch sales. As I said before, G.I. Joe was not named specifically, but if this deal works out well for both parties, maybe they will attempt more brand crossover in the future. I could see them doing G.I. Joe Hot Wheels at the very least.
Right then, Pat, this is an interesting one, isn't it? And this is something I don't think anyone saw on the cards at any point, because there have been stories in recent years, actually, where Mattel and Hasbro have kind of clashed a little bit in terms. I think there was that one where Hasbro approached to buy Mattel a number of, like, again, recent memory, a couple of years ago, and Mattel kind of laughed them out of the room at the offer they gave them. Do you remember that?
I do vaguely remember that. That's just kind of been the story over the years of one trying to buy the other.
Yeah.
So it's, they're just huge, huge presence in the toy industry. And, you know, over the years, they both bought other companies and just become bigger and bigger and bigger. And I view this as a really good move.
Yeah, it kind of makes a lot of sense, doesn't it, in an odd way. Again, nothing that I would have expected to happen at any point, but the fact that they're going, well, there is money to be made here from both sides, and it kind of makes sense from a financial standpoint, especially with the finances, the way they've been for both companies. And I'm saying the finances, like, they're in the blooming red. Like, they're doing all right.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, that constant having to do better year on year and obviously kind of satiate the shareholders and so on and so forth. Obviously it makes it a slightly different proposition if you're only making one instead of 4 billion a year. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
But the thing, like, I think that makes a lot more sense to me here is, like, Transformers being, you know, utilized for things like Uno and Hot Wheels and Barbie getting into, like, Monopoly and stuff like that. That kind of makes a lot of sense. But how do you see, if this kind of is a successful venture in the future, do you see them extending this to, like, other brands? Like, do you see G.I. Joe getting involved in this?
I really hope so. To me, the use of Transformers for Hot Wheels, it does make a lot of sense because, you know, they transform into most of them transform into vehicles. But a lot of the iconic Transformers characters transform into vehicles that really aren't owned by Hasbro anyway. Like, I bought maybe a year and a half ago, I bought a Lancia that looks exactly like Wheeljack off the shelf because, you know, Hasbro has no ownership over that.
Yeah,
and it's going to be a big help for them to have the Transformers brand on the package. And I do wonder what Transformers they may be able to release. Well, I guess there are a few they could release, like Hot Rod or Blur or Cup, that are specifically Transformers.
Yeah, got the Cybertronian modes going on, basically.
Yeah, and exactly. And they could do lots of Cybertronian modes and almost anything crazy. The quality will definitely be better than some of the previous, or at least I expect it to be better than some of the previous, like, Transformers that have existed as Hot Wheels style vehicles. But what I'm getting at is that I think that if you look at the vehicles, G.I. Joe has a lot more distinct vehicle looks. I don't know how all of those would necessarily translate to Hot Wheels. But I mean, Hot Wheels has done like the Star Wars Starships line.
Yeah.
So there's really nothing stopping them. And that's the other thing. Occasionally there will be a licensed item that will just appear in the dollar something-ish Hot Wheels line.
Yeah.
I would kind of expect this to be the $5 range Hot Wheels line.
Of course. Yeah.
But a small scale set of G.I. Joe vehicles would be amazing.
Totally.
I think better. I'm a huge Transformers fan. Don't get me wrong. But I think a $5-ish scale G.I. Joe line from Hot Wheels would be so much better than Transformers.
Yeah, it'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? I could just imagine like little armadillos or little Wolverines,
yes,
or little Maulers and Ore Strikers and so on. And so, oh yeah, it'd be brilliant. Absolutely superb. The Thunder Machine. I mean, so many dope vehicles that you could do.
Yeah, there is really a ton. And
the Imp. I love the Imp, but I'm not even joking.
I want a Hot Wheels Cobra Buzzbore.
Exactly. I want to get busy in the back of that one. Shout out to Word Burglar. Jim Smith, by the way, yes, you were right. That was the one thing I forgot to put in, by the way. I can't believe you've called it perfectly. I'm not going to put it on the screen because I'm going to spoil it for everyone. But I will mention that later. But Jim Smith, you are spot on. That was the panel I forgot to put in at the beginning. But I fixed it now, so everything's great. Ed says, Pat's the worst fan of his own show. I love that. The Punk with Toys says, too much naked HD on other live streams that Pat couldn't watch your interview with the Joe stream. Yeah, that's probably what it was. He's a busy guy, aren't you, Pat?
This week, I don't know why, it really was busy at work, everywhere, every aspect of life. I mean, I've been doing, it's springtime. There's stuff for me to do outside with the house and stuff like that, too.
Awesome. Like burying G.I. Joe or digging up G.I. Joe figures that you buried in the backyard. A toy kind of mood, playing Jedi Survivor before the roommate wakes up, but wanted to say what's up. Awesome interview this week, man. Same to you, Travis and team. Yeah, go check out A Toy Kind of Mood's chat they had with Lenny and Tony from the Hasbro brand team. That went out the same night ours went up. I was waiting for it to finish. So I watched it, get it done, and then I uploaded ours. Awesome stuff. And a lot of Hasbro interviews went out this week, so that's awesome. Diana Davis says, color me shocked. I never thought this would happen. Now Barbie can come with G.I. Joe. Brilliant, Diana. Absolutely genius. cool. Right. There's been loads of comments, and I apologize. I'm not going to get to all of them.
I'd also like a Transformer that turns into like a battle ram.
Ooh, yeah. Hell yeah. I want, there's a lot of crossover opportunity here because obviously, was it Masters of the Universe is Mattel's, isn't it, basically? So it wouldn't be one of those things like with, I don't know, like wrestling, for example, WWE. Like, there'd be a lot of red tape to do some sort of crossover there.
Yeah, yeah.
But with something like Masters of the Universe, we're talking it's a different ball game, isn't it?
Yeah, there's just one company to make the agreement with.
G.I. Joe, Masters of the Universe crossovers?
See, this is where they needed to already be making a O-ring style of other toy lines.
Oh, that would be fun,
Hasbro,
wouldn't it?
And, yeah, I think that would be fun.
O-ring or Masters of the Universe.
Well, you've already got a Sergeant Slaughter exists in Masters of the Universe style, right?
Yeah, he does. In that, I forget what the figure's called, but yeah, the...
Masters kind of the WWE Universe?
Yeah, it's a gross name, but I mean, like, the actual name of the figure.
Oh.
But yeah, that is probably the worst name for a line ever, but it's so fun. Like, a friend of mine has a ton of them, and I tend to kind of, like, just mess around with those a lot. But they're so good. I love the Cena figure. It's brilliant. Anyway... Power Rangers He-Man, says Diana Davis. That's an interesting crossover right there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good call. I tend to forget that they have Power Rangers. Or Mask. How about Mask? How about we do anything with Mask?
Yeah, let's just get Mask Hot Wheels, man.
Yeah, Mask Hot Wheels would be sweet. You're right. That's a good call.
Good shout. Anyway, let us know in the comments what you guys would like to see crossover with Mattel and Hasbro. But that's the deal. If you want any more information on that particular deal, there's more info in the link in the description from the Toy Book, I think, is the article. And of course, you know, I think I covered pretty much everything in the video, but you know, that's that is what it is. Mattel and Hasbro finally coming together. Weird times. Anyway, next up, we have a little bit of, what is it next, Pat? Classified, I think, isn't it? Yeah, a bit of classified news.
Thanks to Kapow Toys on Facebook, it looks like some figures from the latest wave of G.I. Joe Classified will start to show up in mid-May. Torpedo, Rock'n'Roll and Scrap Iron will be the first figures to hit Blighty around the middle of next month, which is definitely a bit quicker than previous pre-order to delivery time periods, to say the least. I'm very excited to see these figures and the rest of the wave when it starts to appear. We've also seen Copperhead in box early as well, so I don't expect to wait much longer until we see those in stock either. That really just leaves Shipwreck to complete the five-figure wave, and of course Snow Job and the female Cobra Trooper slash Officer 2-pack. What a wave this is, eh? Probably one of my favourite lineups so far, and so many awesome accessories and packing inclusions. Not far away from Yojo June now as well, which means we will probably get even more new stuff to gawk at and pre-order. Little bit more classified news for you, as two leaked listings have revealed the release date for both Tunnel Rat and Firefly. The listings have also revealed the two internal code words for both figures as well. Lovecraft, aka Tunnel Rat, and Carol, aka Firefly, taking us back to a time before Hanna-Barbera inspired internal code words. The listings have both figures slated for an October 2023 release, which usually refers to on-shelf or in-hand dates, so you can expect both of these to show up for pre-order during Yojo June, most likely. We can also confirm that they will be two of the standard five-figure wave of figures, so it's possible we'll get a few more listings pop up soon, which will tell us who else is in that five-figure wave, so stay frosty.
Stay frosty indeed. So first up, Pat, we've got Torpedo, Rock'n'Roll and Scrap Iron hitting the UK. Now, this is technically import stock, hitting both Kapow, In Demand Toys and some other independents as well. So they'll be getting these first three figures, I guess. I say first, we've already had Bazooka, I think, shipped through Hasbro Pulse UK as well, which I didn't mention in the video, but did incorrectly wonder where he was in the news burst originally. But in actual fact, he's already kind of gone through that process with Hasbro Pulse UK, I believe. And yeah, so now we've got Torpedo, Rock'n'Roll and Scrap Iron come in. Excited for these figures? Are you kind of excited that they're just around the corner now?
Scrap Iron's the standout here, in my opinion. And yeah, I look forward to seeing him available. I'm not doing the pre-order thing anymore, so I'm hoping that I just stumble upon these, which has been happening pretty frequently lately with toys.
Yeah, I definitely feel that vibe. There's definitely been almost like an anti-pre-order feeling for myself as well. Like I just kind of, I go, oh, cool, pre-orders, and then deal with it later. Like, you know, I'm not, it's like we'll report on it and get excited about everything, but then at the same time, I'm like, you said in the past that you wanted that kind of control over things where it's like,
yeah,
you know, you get to the point where you'll do a load of pre-orders and then you'll forget. And then like the next, you know, the next moment, like everything's coming in at once rather than being spread out. And like the end of last year was brutal for people that pre-ordered a lot of stuff. So yeah, I'm definitely kind of in that vibe. But I really love this wave and I cannot wait for so many of these figures. Torpedo as well. Oh my God. He looks phenomenal, Torpedo. And like not even just the toy photography shots, which always make figures look sensational anyway, but like the figure they had on the live stream, like showing it off with all the gear on him and everything. I was just like, damn, Torpedo wasn't even on my like radar, honestly, as a figure that I was like super excited about until I saw that figure. Like not even the digital render was cool and everything. I was like, yeah, that's a decent, cool figure. As soon as I saw it in reality, I was like, damn, that's going to be good.
I have a lot of fond memories actually specifically about Torpedo because I was a big fan of G.I. Joe in 1982. I loved the 1982 figures and played with them a lot. And so for me, walking into a store and seeing the 83 lineup with how dynamic it looked in comparison. The first figure I came home with was Torpedo from a David Weiss.
Nice. I love it when you had that that kind of memory that just won't, it's like that feeling, you'll never forget it.
Yeah.
Like for me, it was seeing that wall of figures in a US toy store, just like an absolute wall, aisle of figures, G.I. Joe, just one entire aisle, carded for the, as far as the eye could see. And it was just like, this is heaven that I'm in right now. Yeah, just phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Yeah. Never forget that. So Torpedo, Rock and Roll, Scrap Iron. Let us know in the comments who you're looking forward to out of those three. Like I said, they'll be coming into the UK, import stock, mid-May. So I'd expect Pulse to probably start shipping them in the UK kind of the end of May, possibly even early June. And then for the US, who knows? Like we've had instances where it's been shortly afterwards. We've had instances where it's been huge amounts of time between the UK and the US getting them. So I would imagine we're probably at that point now where they might be minimizing that window. So again, I would probably expect end of May to early June, but we'll see. We'll see. What do you think, Pat? Do you think we'll see them anytime soon in the US, or do you think we might have to be waiting a few months?
I get the feeling that we will, but whenever you say import stock, that means that they ship them there themselves. Is that right?
They ship direct from the factory to people that, you know, what do you call it, order them. And of course, UK being in the position that it is on that route, I believe get theirs, like Europe and UK get theirs first. And as it comes over to the US, I think that's how it works.
Okay, the logistics of it are where I get a little confused. I was under the impression that a lot of stuff comes over on the standard shipping containers, but some companies in the UK were ordering stuff to be shipped directly to them, so
yeah,
because they got there faster.
Well, the Joe, this is the thing. The Joe line is exclusive to Pulse in the UK,
right.
So. That's where the kind of like, that's where the stock, but the thing is the distributors in the Far East will have connections with retailers in like independent retailers, and
right.
They'll sell them the, you know, stock they have, because that Far East will always have it before everyone else, because it's
of
already
course.
There.
Yeah.
So, they just get it direct from those distributors.
So that's what I'm thinking, since them getting it is still exists a little bit outside of the standard.
Yeah,
you know, put it in a container and ship it to Hasbro Pulse UK, ship it to the United States. It's going to be a little extra accelerated. So I do expect to see it before too long in the US. I don't think it's going to be the really long wait. Like the last one that aggravated me was there's a pink hot rod right here next to me. And man, it was people in the UK had that 6 months ahead of
getting. Yeah, the import stock does use. I mean, how long did I have Outback for in hand? You know,
was
months.
It felt like a year.
I think I got mine in what, March? I think March or April, something like that. Because it wasn't the first lot of import stock they got in the UK. It was a little bit after the fact. So I got mine early on, and then everyone else was getting theirs like almost like the next year. It was bonkers.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can't remember exactly what dates it was, but we were supposed to get it right at the start of the year, and it just kept getting delayed. It was like 9 month delay or something, wasn't it? Anyway, RKW says Pat talking about his pink hot rod. Lol. this is a family show, RKW. I'm kidding. It's not really, is it? Ryan Daly says Torpedo is my favorite. Can't have him in hand early enough. Mr. Cheeseburger, I can't wait to get Scrap Iron and Rock and Roll, even though Rock and Roll should be all green. You'll just have to paint him, Mr. Cheeseburger. Sorry, Diane, I didn't mean to post that one. I go to click on one and someone adds another comment and it moves the thing up. It's just I can't keep up.
I like the way that Rock and Roll's ammo drapes over his hand. That's really cool.
That's
I hope
very,
that's a pose that's easy to do.
That's very Rambo, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the Higher Toys Rambo that got released the other day? That looks
really
cool. That's really cool. And it's from the second part two, I think. First Blood, part two, subsection three.
I'd like to see the Higher Toys G.I. Joe stuff.
Yes, yes. We're still probably a little ways before getting any of those in hand. I will also say that I got the Mezco shipping notification for Destro the other day, by the way. So that's coming really soon. That was one of those ones where I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was something I did many, many years ago. But, yeah, amazing. Mr. Cheeseburger says, we need links to these UK sites. Well, Kapow Toys and In-Demand Toys are the people you want to probably be talking to in those scenarios, Mr. Cheeseburger. Neil Hill says, I pray the quality control is better in the next wave. I would imagine they've probably ironed a few things out there, Neil. And also, we'll be talking a little bit later about the QC issues when we spoke with the Hasbro team, because obviously they are aware of those, but we'll talk about that. Okay. We also had in this little news block, sorry, Neil Hill says, Chris, that Emma Lennelly interview was the true hotness. It was pretty good, wasn't it? I really enjoyed it. I had loads of fun with them, but we'll talk about them later, Neil. Thank you, though. I appreciate that. Tunnel Rat and Firefly. Now, we got leaked release date listings for both of these, which also revealed their internal code words, which is Pat's favorite subject matter. Pat loves internal code words, so much so that he's got his own internal code word. What is it, Pat? What would your internal code word be?
I don't know. I'll name them after food I like or Transformers or something else.
Create a Transformer that's also food, and that's Pat's name right there. Is the one?
You put me on the spot. I have. Can't think of one.
Terrible. Terrible of me. I bet there is somewhere. There's some sort there of food Transformer is, yes. Name. Let me know in the comments, guys.
Especially BotBots. There's probably some crazy name.
Of course, BotBots. If you were a BotBot, what would you be? What would you transform into?
Well, the best BotBot is Frost Ferratu. A cupcake vampire transformer. It's just so weird.
Oh, I love that.
That's the code name. That's Frost Ferratu on the left, and I don't know who it is on the right.
Amazing. Amazing. Love BotBots. Shout out to Word Burglar, who voiced one of them as well. That blew my mind, that did, when he told me that. I was like, what? And then, yeah, lo and behold, stream it. And there's his voice all over everything. I was like, this is mental. Anyway, yeah, so Tunnel Rat is Lovecraft, and Firefly is Carol. So we've got going back to the old, the author internal code words for these. Now the listing state there, they've got a release. This is in hand date, by the way. This isn't like pre-order date. This is, you know, in hand on shelf, etc. of October 2023. That's crazy to think about. But do you think they'll maintain that date, Pat? Do you think that we'll get them at that point?
I hope so, because that is one of the frustration. That's part of the frustration with the pre-order system, in my opinion, is the long delays between pre-ordering it and getting it in hand. If they can cut that time down, I think that would be a big plus. And I do wonder, how often do they really use these code words around Hasbro? Do you suppose that Lenny's like Tunnel Rat, and it's like Lovecraft? You know what I mean? We don't say that other name around here.
Mate, I guarantee nobody uses these internally. No. This is one of those things where it's just for, I suppose, to hide certain things. Because obviously this information is mainly public for the most part. Like it goes out on what's that website that's like all of the poor information? But we used to, there's this random website. You have to pay for it, actually, I think. But it's a random website that does, like, you know, all stuff that's coming into certain ports at, you know, certain times, like manifest information, right? And it will have. I remember the first time Classified came out, this port document came, like, was leaked, and it had like loads of information on it, and it had all of the internal code words like dung beetle and tarantula. Do you remember those? And
yeah.
So we were able to work out who was who and everything. And I think it's just for that. But how funny would it be if that was the case? They're all going around Hasbro saying these names, and everyone's just like, I can't remember which one Carol was. which one was Carol? Firefly. And then this like alarm goes off and like all the legal team come in and the SWAT team bursts in the windows. You can't use that name. You can only use the internal code word. That's what I expect happens. Our imagination of what happens at Hasbro is way off, isn't it?
I think so, but it's more fun, isn't it, to picture that?
Way more fun. So anyway, that's some interesting info. Also, the other information we can tell you is that these two figures will be standard release. So they are going to be standard $24.99 figures and will be two of a five-figure wave. There'll be more information coming, of course, with the other three figures in that wave, I imagine. So they'll probably pop up at some point. RKW likes... That's actually not bad. I mean, usually there isn't any reasoning behind the code names. Dastardly Pet was a pretty obvious one that we revealed, that we were able to reveal was Mutt and Junkyard. But Christmas Carol, Cracker, Firefly, obvious. I like that one, RKW. That's a very good route to Firefly. I like that one. Anyway.
You explained Christmas Crackers to us some episodes ago. Yeah. Not in the United States. We didn't know about those.
So interesting. Yeah, I introduced those to the family in the US and it was a cracker. It was amazing. Right. Tunnel Rat and Firefly. Are you excited for these two figures, by the way, Pat, first and foremost?
I think that Firefly is going to be a big one. I'm really interested in that one. I love the addition of the RC car with that figure. It's just a great idea for him.
It's really fun. Backpack looks pretty dope as well, doesn't it? Like that's got some bits and things going on. It's got the port on one side for, I imagine, to put the gun on the side there. And then a little port on the bottom, which I imagine maybe the remote controlled buggy attaches to. I can't really see anything else that would go on it.
I thought the buggy would click like on the back, like flat on the back. I don't know how that would. I mean, maybe it does. Maybe it just kind of hangs below.
That's what I was thinking. I don't know. We'll find. I should have asked really. But there was so much. There was so much stuff that we had to talk about that it was. You know, I only had an hour, and I'd give it up to the Hasbro team. They were there the whole hour, and I got a lot of information from them. But anyway, that's for later. But yeah, what about Tunnel Rat? I'll tell you what I do like about Tunnel Rat is the night vision goggles they've given him.
Yeah, me too. I think that makes a lot of sense for Tunnel Rat. You know, it feels like night vision is a low light thing, but everybody else needs to see at night as well.
They all kind of need to. Yeah. And I like the kind of insinuating maybe a Night Force Tunnel Rat down the line. What are you thinking?
Of course, yeah. I mean, naturally, the Tiger Force one is going to be the standout.
Oh, goodness me.
They've got to do a Tiger Force one out of this.
And?
Yeah.
amazing. Talking Joe, Mark says, can't listen live today, but just dropping by to say hello. Full Force Weekly is an integral part of my weekly routine. Thanks, Chris and Pat. You're welcome, Mark. No worries, bud. Hopefully you'll be able to get a better routine in the future. a healthier routine than listening to us gab on about these figures and stuff. Anyway, I've got to say I'm very excited for both of these figures. Firefly looks insane, man. Like I wasn't even mad at the first Firefly. I really liked the first Firefly, but this one is like, it's nice to have both versions of the character in the line.
Yeah, it's like we've said before, that's one that I think that the first one departed so much from what you expect from Firefly that now we have the best of both worlds by them making it depart enough that this one feels like a more classic one, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. There was very little in the previous Firefly other than maybe the head sculpt, right? That you could probably say was, and I love the fact that they did that, honestly, because, we've got two Fireflies, and that's, you know, the more the merrier, in my opinion.
The more the merrier. I also want the later 90s Firefly in green.
Hell yeah, with the hat.
Yeah.
Definitely. Removable?
That's a good idea, actually. If they put that hat on him and then made it removable, then he could have almost a classic Firefly look. You could make some of the gear removable. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. I like that idea.
I'm down for that. We're kind of formulating a monthly episode here in our heads, aren't we? How can we make this into a monthly with structure? Anyway, that is pretty much everything for... Also looking forward to Tunnel Rat, I've got to say. Like you said, Tiger Force, yes. Night Force, come on. They have to utilize this figure a couple of times with this opportunity that they have in front of them. And I would be there all day for all of them. But anyway, yeah, really looking forward to these figures. Cannot wait for October now. Just wish my life away. Right then. Next up, and this was the biggest news, I guess, of the week for us, and that was getting the opportunity to chat with the wonderful folks at Hasbro, Emily and Lenny, and we're just going to break that interview down now, this second.
Earlier in the week, we got the opportunity to grill, albeit very delicately, the Hasbro brand team members Emily Bader and Lenny Panzeka. As always, they were extremely gracious and pleasant and gave us a few awesome exclusives as well. Emily explained that the new packaging for the next wave of figures was decided on just before the announcement by Hasbro to return to plastic windows for the classified series, and that the new window packaging was in the ideation phase and would feature in the spring of 2024. They both discussed the new Walmart exclusive line and the Night Force narrative that would be running through it, including more details about Big Ben's regiment patch that Lenny designed himself, featuring the griffin with a flame over a globe. The patch signifies a protector with a guiding light on the international stage. Effectively, Night Force will deal with the mysterious and creepy aspects of Cobra and their related allies. Lenny showed us Scrap Iron and his drone and the brand new Range Viper on camera, and went into detail with some of the design aspects of the new figures that had been revealed to that point. The other major reveal was the official confirmation of an Arctic Bat, which was sneakily dropped in a Snowjob diorama photo during the last live stream. Emily explained that it was coming and purposefully included the reveal to allow the fans to have some fun and speculate. We did ask them about the QC issues the line was having, and they explained that they were aware of the issues and are actively dealing with them. The recent delays to a number of figures overseas is also a situation they are trying to get on top of, and we did ask what was happening with the O-ring line, but they couldn't discuss it yet. More news on those stories to come, and now we wait for Yojo June.
Yes, we do. Everyone stop doing everything and just wait for Yojo June now. Yeah, right. So, big interview. Really had a great time again with Lenny and Emily. Massive shout out to those guys and, of course, Hasbro for allowing us to do so. And just being really, like, accommodating and pleasant and answering all of our questions and all that kind of stuff. What I usually do is I'll send, like, a document of questions along, like a big, like, show document with, like, sub questions, all sorts of stuff in there. And they never look at it and go, no, can't do that. We've had like one time where they said, like, we probably won't be able to talk about that, so it's up to you if you want to keep it in or not. But for the most part, like, they'll just, you know, like you say, they'll answer the questions as best as they can, or they'll just say we can't talk about it. And to be honest, there was only one question that they couldn't really get into any details with. And that's the one that we'll get to in a minute, Pat, but that's something that affects you a little bit. And that's the O-ring line. But we will talk first about some of these key points from that interview. I'll start with the dismal stuff, because I ended this interview with these questions and I thought, why did I do that? I should have done this at the beginning. QC issues, they're being actively addressed. They're aware of the issues. We didn't get into a lot of details about what they were. They couldn't really talk on what those issues were, but they are fully aware of them. And in conversations I've had, I'm pretty sure that, you know, they're aware of all of the different things, bits and pieces that people are having issues with. Because not just that, I mean, there's a lot of comments about it, a lot of talk about it, and a lot of questions to Hasbro about it. In terms of the QC issues, Pat, do you see those being kind of fixed as we go along here? Is this just a case of, like, maybe teething problems at the new factory?
I certainly hope so. I'm trying to figure out exactly what QC issues they mean, like the massive scale issues or individual like paint apps missing or parts missing kind of.
Well,
thing.
This would be things that
I've had some of that.
This is stuff like this. They couldn't talk on those particular QC issues. I think in general they're talking about those things like, you know, the elbows being miscolored, like not the same color as the arms, those kind of things. Dusty's helm, headgear, for example, not fitting properly and like being loose, all that kind of stuff. You know, like those kind of little elements. I think the other ones that pop up quite a lot are Zorana and CoverGirl have a random arm issue where it pops off, but I haven't had that issue with either of my figures. Mm. So
yeah, my CoverGirl, the arm pops off pretty easily. You go to pose it, and I can, you know, twist and position just because I'm used to fiddling with these things, but my Zorana doesn't have that problem at all.
That's what I'm kind of, I wonder if some of those issues might have been like on the first run, and then when they noticed there was a problem, they corrected it. I wonder if that might be, that have something to do with it, or it might be one of those things that affects, like, you know, like a, I don't know, like an air bubble or something that messes up the mold, for example, on that, like, you know, that injection molding process for like a certain amount, and then it kind of rectifies itself once it gets through a certain amount of figures.
With my CoverGirl, it's definitely just feels like it's a blend of the size of the arms and the type of material used.
Right. So I wonder if that's one of the, like I said, one of those things where like over kind of like a number of different period, like, you know, they've gone through like a phase.
You may just use slightly harder plastic on the bicep.
Possibly, yeah.
Prevent that. Yeah, maybe.
Possibly. So like, you know, so a lot, quite a few people have mentioned those issues. So obviously I've got a feeling they've either I've got really lucky, because like I said, I've got the Zorana figure and I've got no issues with an arm coming off, but I know Justin had an issue with an arm coming off Zorana. Sorry, I know I didn't say it the normal way I usually say it. And the CoverGirl, I wouldn't know there's an issue on that figure. Like, I just not a clue, honestly. Diana says, stop fiddling with CoverGirl, Pat. You can't tell us what to do, Diana.
Not going to stop.
Also, there were also the other QC issues, not just classified, but the HasLab figures had some issues, didn't they? And like, there was that one thing where I think, I'm not even sure how it happened, but the whole Scarlet Crossbow thing was quite interesting, to say the least.
Oh, yeah. Some of that comes down to design issues, because that's what kind of what I was getting at, because QC is more a measurement of making sure that each output matches exactly the intended result. And, you know, if it got approved to have no handle on the crossbow, then that really doesn't come down, I don't think, to
it's all factory error. Yeah,
it's just a factory error and a very early design and approval problem. So that's kind of what I was wondering, what they meant by QC issues, if it was just the random one-off, like, for example, my Cobra officer and trooper pack didn't come with a bipod. That's definitely a QC issue. But something like, something that's more widespread and design related is not.
Yeah. Envision Fitness says, my Zorana's arm came off just pulling it out of the clamshell. I think, yeah, like a few people had that issue. Speaking of QC issues, I was wondering if they will re-release those with QC issues like CoverGirl and Zorana, like in retro version or as variants. Wondering if they fix Falcon's head sculpt too. Robert, yeah, I'm pretty sure they're aware that Falcon's head sculpt is one of those ones that is not necessarily accepted by the fandom in any way, shape, or form. But that isn't, unfortunately, a QC issue of Falcon.
That is a
design problem, isn't it? So, or a sculpt problem, or whatever you want to say. So, like, that's something kind of different and quite subjective. But I definitely think they're probably going to, you know, without really knowing or answering that question, I have a feeling they'll probably do something with Falcon's head sculpt in the future.
I think would be really cool is if they released a pack, because sometimes we get multiple heads. It'd be really nice if there was some sort of future figure that had a masked and unmasked head, where the unmasked version would just make a nice Falcon head sculpt.
A very stealthily way of like dealing with the problem without saying anything. Yeah, that could be the case. That would be really cool, actually. Yeah, like pick a character that's never had the face shown off or something, and then just make a new Falcon head sculpt out of it. oddly fits the beret. That's weird.
Right.
but thank you, Robert, for the comment. Death Valley Machine says, I can't wait for more O-rings. We might have to. Sammy Delco says, yeah. Their O-ring reaction seemed ominous. Strange, because I thought the vehicle seemed to do well, but the figure 2-pack seemed less exciting in terms of character selection and price point. So let's talk about that quickly, Pat. O-ring character selection is something that we've had an issue with this kind of since day one, when it was like, oh, Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow out of the gate. Obviously, fair enough. I can accept that. What are we getting next? Blimmin' Duke and Cobra Commander. Okay, right, I get it. Maybe we'll get something Trooper and Officer. Okay, right, I get it now. We're just going to get... It's the core character hump, but for Hasbro. Now, what are you thinking? What do you think would make a good use of an O-ring line right now?
You don't come out of the gate with just the core characters. I mean, this is the same problem that they had with the Gentle Giant G.I. Joes, is that the initial offerings weren't the most enticing ones. They're good figures that I eventually wanted to get to, but they needed to come out of the gate with something better. And as a person collecting O-ring figures, I loved what I've gotten over the last 25 years. But when the line ended in 1994, there were some key characters that had not come out that I wanted to see. Dr. Venom, Pythona. Yeah. Why have I gone through 25 years of wishing for these figures only to have Cobra Trooper and Cobra Officer again? I'm exhausted of even dreaming of it. Now, I don't think that the O-ring line is completely dead, but if I had to guess, I would say that we will get a few more things with the Transformers crossovers, but unless they actually focus on making it be a line intended for people who have collected O-ring figures for 25 years beyond the 1994 line ending, 30 years almost. It's been almost 30 years since the line ended, and we still don't have a Pythona in O-ring format. We have a wonderful Pythona and 4-inch figure. But in O-ring format, you know, unless it's that O-ring style that fits the vintage style, it isn't what I imagined was missing from the line. So a new figure of Kamakura, well, that's a weird one to pick. But, you know, some of those figures that have come out since then, unless they're that style, they're not quite scratching that itch. And that's what I want. And that's, I could go on forever about this, but the O-ring line just really needed to infuse some of those things that we hadn't gotten for the last 30 years.
Yeah. No, I feel your pain on that one, mate. I think, yeah, how can we still be here talking about not having an O-ring Pythona? Like, it's nuts, isn't it? Like, in this day and age, yeah.
we've even had
the movie in theaters.
Yeah,
recently.
I mean, we did get the Club O-ring Bigelob. We did. But I would just really have liked a new head, like some new sculpt parts. And yeah, the movie was in theaters. Like, there was so many opportunities to do big things and to make it feel special again. And, you know, I loved the way that they were repainting things in the early 2000s. Those were great figures. I'd be at a loss if they hadn't gone through that era. Because there's a lot to love about that too, and a lot to celebrate about that. But where's Pythona?
Where is she, guys? Come
where's
on.
Dr. Venom?
Where's Dr. V? Absolutely. There's tons of characters you could go through,
yeah,
though.
Like tons. That,
and I think like I said, we had the opportunity with the movie in theaters. There was an O-ring kind of thing going on while that was happening, so it could easily have done that. It wouldn't have taken much to go, right, here is the movies around the corner, like, in conjunction, let's do a couple of 2-packs that are like Falcon versus Globulus, you know, Sergeant Slaughter versus Nemesis Enforcer, Pythona versus Jinx. Just do like a couple of 2-packs, right, that like commemorate the movie. Doesn't have to be like six, do as in six figures is fine, you know, cut three 2-packs or just even one 2-pack, just one to get like a bloody Pythona figure out. You know, yeah. Just anything like that would be cool. But, you know,
yeah,
it is what it is.
Part of the problem is that the figures that they released weren't newsworthy.
No.
Whenever you release something like Pythona, that's going to have all of the toy websites talking. And what they released is stuff that, you know, you could just still pretty much go and buy. Except for, yeah, I did like Duke and Cobra Commander. I really like those.
Yeah, there was a nice repaint aspect to those, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, key points. Those are those. Next up, we get away from that now. We've talked about all the miserable stuff. Let's move on. Nightforce narrative features the Joes battling the mysterious and unknown. Lenny mentioned a like global threats, and obviously Big Ben is from the UK. You know, his like the patch as well has got the globe on it. With the griffin holding a flame on it, and he discussed the patch in detail. Obviously, he designed that from, you know, himself. There was no like he had inspiration, but effectively that is a brand new thing. It's not really based on anything necessarily. So yeah, and it basically features like the griffin being a protector, and the flame being a guiding light, and obviously Nightforce, they're bringing light to the dark effectively. And that I thought was a really cool little thing to do, little addition on the figure as well. And also, he did mention though that it wouldn't be on all the figures, like they wouldn't all have this patch. So I found that interesting. I thought that was going to be like some sort of like Nightforce regiment thing going on that they'd all have, but apparently that might just be only on him personally, but that's still cool. And he also went into kind of like a lot of detail about the narrative without really talking about the narrative. So initially when I asked them the question, they said they couldn't, they were going to save it for the fans to kind of like see the narrative on the packaging, you know, read the story as they've done it visually for Cobra Island, for Tiger Force with the jungle and that kind of stuff. It's going to be a similar thing, but I think from what I'm getting from them is they're going to have more deeper narrative basically for this one. I don't know where it's going to be though, because that's another thing I did ask them about. You know, are we going to see this narrative explored in another way, like other media? And they were kind of like, well, we would like to, but there's nothing at the moment that, you know, they're doing actively that we can know about anyway. So we didn't really get much in the way of like, is there any animation or is there a comic or is there going to be more website info? Now, I should mention the website. The website's been kind of offline now for a number of weeks. I was kind of holding out, just expecting them to do like a revamp or maintenance or something. And I imagine there will be something again soon, like maybe around Yojo June, they'll probably revitalize it again. But it's interesting that that would go down, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a little bit strange. It would be nice to have it revamped, though, because we are several years out from it really doing anything. So I don't think it's a bad thing. It's not a bad sign for the line, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was annoyed, though, because now I can't tell what the abilities mean. Like, there's no way to work out what the abilities actually mean, and that upsets me. And the fact those abilities still appear on the newer figures makes me think, oh, they're just doing some overhaul on the site, and they're probably kind of like revamping it and changing it. So I imagine there'll be another relaunch of that site in the near future. I would expect. He also showed off the Range Vipers details, which were really cool. Here's the patch, by the way. This is the griffin holding the light over the globe. And that's the kind of thing that's going to be, effectively, it's going to be that Cobra is going to be Cobra isn't the unknown, but Cobra is, it's going to be Cobra's unknown mysterious elements. And of course, we have already had leaks of other figures coming into the Nightforce line. There's a zombie Viper in quotation marks. So obviously zombies are going to be involved in this somehow. Shadow Tracker is involved in this, and Lenny did technically confirm that on the interview. I'm not sure if he was supposed to, but he did say that Shadow Tracker being an exclusive, etc., etc., etc. So Shadow Tracker is definitely going to be in that way. That lines up with the listings, basically. The other one was a redeco of Alley Viper, I believe, was in the leaked listings. We've discussed that in the past on, I think, when we talked about the leaked listings on a previous episode. I had like a couple of ideas, but use the image of the yellow and black redeco. But honestly, I think we're probably going to be seeing maybe that red and black one. What do you think?
If it's tied to this, then definitely darker, I would assume. I think that all the stuff that you kind of are laying out here is pretty interesting. Did he go into, like, if that Big Ben patch may appear on other figures at all and just not the ones that we're seeing?
That's what he said. He said that it's only going to be on Big Ben. He said it might appear on some other characters, but not all of them. And I was like, okay. Oh, so maybe what he's saying is this is like for characters that maybe are international based, which makes me think that maybe we might be getting some more international characters coming into the Night Force, which is a very interesting point. And I think someone mentioned Skymate a minute ago.
I was going to say Skymate with his pink hat. But they could make it red. You know, actually, his colors would kind of work for Night Force if they just made the hat red.
There you go. Figure six pack. I agree, mate. I agree. I don't know. I mean, again, a lot of that is speculative, by the way. Like, I feel like maybe Big Ben might be the only one that has that patch. It might show up on...
I just like the fact that he included a patch, because honestly, like, looking at the original G.I. Joe run, there were a lot of tampos and division patches and fun things like that in the early part of the line. In the later part of the line, there weren't so many of them.
Yeah.
So whether you're looking at revisiting some of those characters, it's really cool to me that he created this. I like this a lot. To me, this is a plus.
Yeah, definitely. So this is something, again, that I'm excited to see developed as well. Coolsies. So lots of, like I said, we've got lots of Night Force narrative, even though they weren't allowed to talk about it. So thanks, guys. but I mean, what can you say that isn't already kind of insinuated?
Do you think the narrative will be any more involved than the Cobra Island one was, with Roadblock being behind? And
we see that was fun, wasn't it? Because when they did the live streams, they went into detail about the story, and Lenny would talk about like what the story was around it, and then the Dio shots would kind of lean into that a little bit. I feel like when we got into Tiger Force, it wasn't as depthy in the discussion about what's the mission going on here, because like the back of the card is very basic compared to what Cobra Island was, which was amazing. I loved Cobra Island as an idea. Like, I loved the image of the Cobra Island and the zoomed in spots and everything. It was so much fun to kind of like try and work out what was going on and stuff. So I hope they're going in that route somehow for the Night Force line. The problem is we've seen the box backs as well, and they don't have anything on them. So I want to know where that's going to be, where the narrative is going to be explained. And if it's on the front of the box, maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's just that image that we're seeing on the front with the tunnel that he's in and that kind of stuff. And maybe the other figures will like start to tell a story along those lines.
It'd be cool if it was just kind of a setup and a you decide on the website. That would be, to me, a lot of fun. And maybe the website is kind of caught up in the hurricane of package changes as well. Maybe there were some plans and it's like, well, we have to rework things. Just take it down for now. We'll just work on that in a little bit.
That's a good point, actually, Pat, because that might be what happens. The narrative might start showing up later in later waves based on the new packaging. Yeah. Barking Fridge says, Night Force connected to Mole Rats at all, he ponders. Mate, we were talking about Mole Rats before the show started today, because we were like, do you remember Mole Rats?
I keep forgetting the name of them, to be honest. It's like, she teased it, and then it just escapes my mind.
It was a name only, and it didn't have any image. It's a new character. It's a new Cobra Trooper of some description. I imagine it's going to be some sort of underground setup situation, maybe to like fight or have a direct foil with Tunnel Rat or something like that.
Yeah, which kind of makes it a good call that this could be a foil for time, because they do seem to do foils. That makes a lot of sense. I think that we are getting Range Viper not long after Outback for a reason.
Totally.
Both and like the survivalist.
Literally reused parts of Outback on the Range Viper as well, which is interesting as well. I love the fact they've just painted the arms black and you wouldn't know. You just wouldn't know.
Right. They look good.
They look great. Like the Range Viper man looks sick. And Outback looks incredible as well. Tristan says, I keep mistakenly calling them Mole Rats.
Now that's how I'm going to remember it.
Diana says, with those
triggered my head, and I'll remember.
With those crystals, I can see Night Force connected to Cobra La. Well, that's a good point, because it's mysterious and creepy, and that's definitely a weird, unknown element of Cobra, Diana. Definitely. I mean, Pat, would you cry if they did a Pythona?
I would cry because I still don't have my O-ring one. Is that
that's what
you
mean? That's what I mean. Would you cry because I still don't have it?
I think right now, in this time period, the Pythona that does make sense to release is the 6-inch one. I totally see that, but yeah. What if Zombie Viper is actually a Cobra La zombie? Like zombies, it could be weird.
Oh man, I'm just interested to see where they go with it. What other characters kind of come out? Obviously, we've had some leaked listings of what's coming. I imagine we'll start. I did ask them, are we likely to see any Night Force, historic Night Force characters join the line? And they said they couldn't talk about future product. That was the only one they really couldn't. Well, that and the O-ring question, but that was the only one they really couldn't like get into a lot of detail with. I can understand why they're not talking about the O-ring thing at the moment. I just that clearly there's something going on there where they are either having to rethink the whole thing, or I don't know. Maybe it's just, I don't know. I can only speculate, unfortunately. So that was Night Force. That's the Night Force narrative, and that's Big Ben's patch. He also showed the Range Viper, and we got to look at some fun little details on this particular figure. Now, I can't remember. Correct me if I'm wrong, viewers. I'm sure you'll know. But is the bandolier part of the secondary? Like, is it molded to the secondary? I can't remember. I might be, and I can't remember what the images showed us, because usually they'll show like they will show
all the parts
like
broken down.
Yeah. I'm just gonna have a quick look to see on that one. If someone gets there before I do in the comments as well, that is also fine.
It completely looks like a separate piece to me. And I thought that it was a different one because we talked about how much that the secondary underneath the bullets looked like Resolute Duke to me.
So when I look, this is the parts breakdown. The bandolier is still part of the secondary. Okay. So I'm not 100% sure. It might be molded or it might be stuck to. Oh, the belt is separate, says Jeffrey. Thank you, Jeffrey. Okay, there we go. That's all I wanted to know. So the bullet belt looks to be separate from the secondary vest. So that's cool. I'm glad about that. Now, the things he pointed out, which were quite fun, he did joke about the little port on the back of the vintage figure, kind of like plugging in the hose, plugging into a canister. He said, like, for some reason. So what they've done is they've kind of added a lot more detail to the backpack, which we didn't have on show, unfortunately. But he said they've done a lot more kind of elements on the backpack and added more detail on that to kind of make it appear as though it feeds information to his helmet, his heads-up display, and then he can see, like, range and distance and information and stuff. So I thought that was kind of cool. Nice little kind of, again, a little more narrative build-up in what they're doing. And then he also showed us, like, again, different elements of the figure, the little tampon on the shoulder, the Psy sheath as well on the back, little kind of loop at the back for the knife, the dagger. So that's pretty damn cool.
I've never really understood what that really was supposed to be. I don't think that it's like a ninja weapon.
No.
And it's not quite I don't know if it's quite a Psy on the original.
No, the original's just got like, it's got the kind of like flat, hand guard. And then two little like point, like ports almost that stick up
like
off the top.
A miniature trident of sorts.
Yeah. A
survival trident.
It's obviously a survival trident. Duh. So they kind of made that into more of a side. But yeah, it did feel like an odd addition for that particular figure, even back then,
right.
In the vintage year.
There were a lot of moments where that was kind of the nice thing about G.I. Joe, is that as I was learning about, you know, as a kid, I didn't know what things always were, but then you'd learn what they were, and that's cool. But even over time, there are still some things that I don't know what they were or what they were thinking or where they pulled things from. And that's certainly one of them.
Yeah, totally.
So just including it as a Psy, though, rather than just not including it at all, is amazing to me. I love the fact that he did that.
Also, Jeremy just mentioned, yeah, he did mention there were parts on the actual secondary that would come off as well, didn't he? You're right, Jeremy. He mentioned that about the shells, which he's pointing out on the left there. They come off, apparently. They're like a secondary on a secondary. Cool. Nice. There was something else I was going to add about the Range Viper. It just looks amazing. I'm really, really into this particular figure and cannot wait for the Night Force line, honestly. Also, something I've just realized, Pat, well, all this Pythona talk today, and look at the t-shirt I'm wearing.
Oh, nice.
We know everything.
Yeah, not me. I've got a pole position happening today.
Pole position. I can't hear that title without belting out that power ballad of a theme tune. Whoa, whoa. Anyway, love that. Great show, man. When is that coming back? When are we going to get pole position merchandise, for goodness sake?
Yeah, I know. It always felt like it was related to Mask to me.
Totally. With the little heads, computer boxes that came out of the car and everything. Oh, need. Anyway, Jeffrey says, Big Ben's belts are separate as well. Thank you, Jeffrey. Yep. What I was getting at was I wasn't sure if the bandolier, like the bullet belt, kind of came off or if it's attached to the secondary. But I will double check and get some confirmation on that, even though I think a lot of you do feel that is the case. Where did I get the Pythona shirt? I actually made this one myself, drew the line art, and then added the little quote thing underneath it, and then just got it made because that's how I roll. Anyway, let's move on. He also showed us Scrap Iron and his drone. Look at this beauty. Look at the size of that thing, Pat.
It's really nice. Yeah, I really like that they did this, because just having the stationary missile rack, I love the fact that thing, first of all, was also included in the accessories pack in the vintage line, the fact that there was the red one, because it did feel like a miniature permanent emplacement.
Yep.
And the fact that they have put it on treads, well, honestly, now I'm kind of wondering what kind of treads I could probably put on the vintage one to make that thing mobile, because that would be really cool. It has a pack rat feel to me.
Yeah, it and definitely does.
I've said many times that I want modular pack rats, that I think that a swappable top and bottom where you could do different things would be really cool with pack rats. And this to me is a step in that direction. And this is just a really cool way of having Scrap Iron come with something huge that is, it kind of delivers on the feel of that vintage figure, because when you looked at that 1984 line, there just felt like there's so much packed in with Scrap Iron that I think that this gives that same feeling, that he's a dude that comes with a ton of stuff.
Absolutely. What I really like about this whole vibe is the fact they decide, Lenny even mentioned, actually, before I say what I was going to say, Lenny even mentioned during the interview that he always felt like the older version, the vintage kind of missile launcher that he had was very much it stays there. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't move. It doesn't, he's kind of taken out of the battle a little bit. So he wanted Scrap Iron to basically be more proactive and be involved. And so the drone obviously being able to move means that he can like get that thing into places, move it quicker, you know, cause more damage and be more of a threat on the battlefield, which I thought was really interesting and cool. And the other aspect that he showed off, there's another shot of there's his hand in relation. This is really funny. He said he called his a meat paw, but before he could say meat paw, he said, look, it's about the size of my meat, and then paused and then said meat paw. And so I started laughing. Emily started laughing, and we kind of like, you know, hid it well enough. But if you watch that part of the interview, you'll notice we both have a very interesting smirk on our face when he said that. Anyway, the other awesome thing he showed us, the tilt of the articulation of the wheels. And he was basically describing how he wanted people like toy photographers and stuff to be able to have this kind of like dynamically posed on rocks and going over terrain and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, the 25th one did make the missiles into a backpack, and I thought that was a great solution to things. But You could only imagine that it's so heavy whenever it's a backpack. And I think that this is a better solution to that. Because how would you have broken down the original one?
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess he would have had to toss it on a vehicle or something.
Well, he's a bat kind of maker, isn't he? So he probably would just have bats carry it.
Sure. Yeah.
That's my headcanon. Because he's so influential in the whole bats like scenario. I reckon he would just have a couple of on-site bats, depending on the environment. If he was in the Arctic, yeah, he'd have Arctic bats doing it. We'll get to that in a minute. Stop ruining things, Chris.
I thought that was a segue.
Stop ruining it. No, it wasn't. I'm not that good. I should have done that segue. I somehow worked that segue into the last panel, which is still a way away. Yeah, so the tracks tilt and everything, it's all very articulated and cool. Diana says those treads still look to me like they're rubbery strips that move. They don't, unfortunately. It's all one piece. It's one of the ways they could do this with all the other features that it has. If they added that, apparently it just got way more complicated and more costly and would have been a lot more expensive. So, no. Ryan Daly says, what other classic figures could come with a pet-sized accessory besides Lightfoot? Thanks, Ryan Daly, for making that clear that I can't use Lightfoot in that particular monthly topic. I appreciate it. I promise from now on, in all monthly episodes, no, I will no longer use Lightfoot, Hydro Viper, or what was the other one? And Tiger Force. I will stick very closely. I'll just get out of the box a little bit because I'm getting a little bit too predictable, aren't I, Pat?
Yeah, it's the monthly Lightfoot pitch at this point. If only there had been like a European Tiger Force Lightfoot, your life would be complete.
That would be the next month's topic. Who would you like to see in the European exclusive Tiger Force? I'm going to go with Lightfoot. Amazing. Thank you, Ryan. That's actually a good shout, actually, for a monthly topic. Figures and pets, but they're not pets. I like that. That's a very nice, good idea. Good idea. Right, yeah, cool. Pet pat racks, says Death Valley Machine. Yep.
Yeah, do you know what? That's for the Battlefield robots, like the
Cobra. It's a good way of doing that, though, isn't it? It's a good way of doing pack rats is to do it as a figure pack in.
I totally agree. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I still think Lightfoot would have a bloody great big thing like this as well. Anyway, so that's that. He also showed us some more detailing on, this is on the back of the drone. They've got these little kind of lights on the back, which are kind of cute. And then the Cobra sigil.
For when it's in traffic so it doesn't get rear-ended.
Didn't even think of that. That's amazing. Yeah, when he's sitting on the top of it with his remote going down the highway at 12 miles an hour. Oh my god, that's brilliant. That would effectively be like a kid's power truck, wouldn't it? Whatever they're called. What are they called?
Power wheels. Yeah.
Definitely. Man, I used to dream about having something like that. They were so expensive when I was a kid. And also, we didn't have them in the UK for a long time. And then I remember they started happening like towards the late 80s or the early 90s. They kind of turned up. But in America, you'd see them on like American movies and TV shows, kids driving around these little power wheels. And yeah, never saw anything like that in the UK for ages. And then they were just too expensive, just way too expensive. Yeah. I'm not posting that comment, Jeremy, but it's hilarious. Next up then, key points. New packaging style was implemented prior to Hasbro's announcement to return to window boxes. Ouch. And then window packaging, Emily told us that window packaging would be happening in spring of 2024. So we'll be getting that back in spring of 2024. And initially, like they were talking about the fact that they basically changed the packaging. They'd implemented it. And then Hasbro made the announcement and they're kind of like, oh, well. So the window packaging is still in the ideation phase. So it's still technically being developed. And they couldn't really talk about what it would look like because they didn't have any example of what it would look like yet. So, we will be getting window packaging back again in 2024 for the Classified series. Much to, I think, a lot of people's happiness on that one. Yes. But the way things are coming out at the moment, Pat, we might get a few waves of this new packaging.
I would expect that we would, yeah. I see how it stinks for them, but I'm glad that they were just kind of making sure that there was constant improvement and that they were listening to us and responding. That's where this comes from. It comes from a place of constant improvement, and I can appreciate that.
Yeah, well said, actually. That's really cool. What I will also add there as well, yeah, they were talking about, or we did speak about the new packaging style, as in the one that we've seen images of, aka this one. And Emily was saying that they had a lot of feedback, and you know, it became very abundantly clear that people were saying, if you didn't know what this was, right, if you didn't know what this line was, and you were just a casual buyer or just someone in, you know, picking this stuff up because of nostalgic reasons, whatever, it's not necessarily clear what you are getting in the actual box based on the artwork that takes over most of the box. So it was clear to them they had to do something that really signified what you're getting. And I thought this was a good, like, in between kind of way of doing it, giving us, again, interesting, cool artwork with interesting backgrounds, but it's effectively the figure, just what you're getting in the box. And I was really into this as an idea.
Yeah, me too. I don't want to say that artwork is necessarily, well, some of them I've not been into.
Yeah.
But you know, looking at two of them in particular, like Pimp Daddy Destro, or I should say Profit Director Destro, and Cover Girl. The design style of the art of those, I think, doesn't really match the design style of the figure that's inside. But with Destro, there was the window box, so there was no mistaking what you were getting. With Cover Girl, that on a shelf, you know, as a consumer, I really wouldn't know what to expect. And I've had the same problem with other brands. I walk into the store and I see other toys, and it's like some Marvel stuff or Power Rangers, and I really just pick it up and wonder what's in the box. I'm saying the same things we've said a million times.
No, it's totally relevant and definitely something I agree with on that one, definitely. And I think that's why I was kind of when you're in it, when you're kind of enjoying it and you're just buying it and you know exactly what the deal is, it's different, and you don't put yourself in that. You don't view it through a different perspective, and you don't kind of go, well, because sometimes you think like, well, who else is buying it? Are people really buying this that aren't people that are like well into it? Apparently so.
Yeah.
Because
I think that's almost the entire point of putting this stuff at Target and Walmart, is to get those birthday gift sales.
Yeah, definitely. RKW says the entire Night Force line will be in black packaging, just all black. You don't know what you're getting. It's a mystery. It's mysterious. It's unknown. I like it. I like that. Interesting. Mr. Cheeseburger, thank you so, so much for the super chat. And he says, thank you for your love and passion for G.I. Joe.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cheeseburger. One of my favorite avatar names that we have, one of our favorite names that we have in the chat. Mr. Cheeseburger.
And I couldn't come up with food names for characters early on, so maybe Mr. Cheeseburger should be a code name for a G.I. Joe.
Like Ice Cream Soldier.
Right, yes.
It's easier to make food-related puns with G.I. Joe than it is Transformers. J-Mac says, my friend and I drove a red Power Wheels through a sliding glass door when we were kids, lol. Wow.
By chance.
You are.
If it was the Jeep, the red Power Wheels Jeep, my brother had that one.
Was it? Did he buy it off neighbors who had lost the privilege to have it because they drove it through a glass door? That'd be great if it was like a whole serendipitous moment there in the comments. Ronan just said, man, I love Classified. Awesome, Ronan X33. Glad you're happy and enjoying yourself. That's brilliant. What else we got? Diana says, the kid across the street had a few Power Wheels. His mother wouldn't let any other kid ride them. His uncle was Jack Hanna. He was majorly spoiled. Wow.
got her back by telling him Santa Claus isn't real. How dare you, Diana? How dare you? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what that means. I can't understand that, what you're saying there, Diana. Sorry. Anyway, yeah, there we go. That's that. And then also, obviously, this was the announcement from Hasbro explaining that they would be going back to window boxes for a number of brands, including G.I. Joe Classified. Now, the last thing that we had, well, it wasn't the last thing. It was well in the, it was in the middle, I guess, of the actual interview. Emily and Lenny were able to confirm the existence of Arctic bats. They are coming, confirmed. There was a little joke about it at first. I did ask a question and she was like, who's to say it wasn't just a thing put in the background? And she went, no, they are coming. Like she just gave up on trying to like, trying to spin anything. No, she's great. And yeah, the fact we're getting Arctic bats confirmed now is, I mean, it was always going to happen, wasn't it? I mean, this was obvious, but it's nice to have that confirmation.
Yeah, and I think we also kind of knew when the bat came out, there was no way that it wasn't getting some repaints. And, you know, I guess even prior to having it, I think we knew about the Python one.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is cool. I like the fact that they did that too, that they threw in some stuff for fans to dig into, a little Easter egg to find.
I know that again, that kind of like, that makes me happy because it doesn't always have to be this rigid way of doing things. And effectively right. they can literally do what they want a lot of the time, you know, with what you call it, approval and everything, but they could come up with a plan of action and implement it. Right. And it doesn't necessarily have to be so rigid that you can't drop the occasional little thing in here to make people, you know, go crazy or whatever. I think they kind of did it a little bit. And I think it would have been in the same response had the Python Crimson Guard not been leaked beforehand, because Bazooka had a Python Crimson Guard in the background of his product image. So I think they're doing this on purpose now. I think they're dropping these things in there. And their intention obviously was to reveal that a Python Crimson Guard was coming when they did that Bazooka diorama image. But obviously, like I said, it had already been leaked by then. So effectively they were just semi-confirming the legitimacy of that particular leak.
Yeah.
In this case, this was their full control and they're just like, there you go, we'll throw that in there. People are going to see it, obviously, and it'll make the speculation happen. And this is the thing, like when they do name-only reveals, they can't really say bat. They could say Arctic bat, but you know exactly what's coming. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know exactly what to expect. So I kind of think that there's a few things they don't do name-only reveals for, like, redecos effectively, do they?
That's a good point. That's a really good point. Because how exciting would it be to have just... I guess maybe they could say, Night Force Tunnel Rat or whatever other ones we've speculated on as a name-only reveal, but... I don't know. The name only reveals are way more exciting when it's a new sculpt.
Totally. And also it's nice to be like, it's a character name and then you don't know what you're getting. Like you could get a Tiger Force one first. You could get like a Night Force one first. So yeah, totally. Ed says new belt and holsters though. Yeah, it looks like there are some new aspects to this one. I've got a feeling they might be throwing a few little different things into this particular one, which is pretty cool. I'm excited to see what comes out of this one, definitely. Figure Six Back says, the Arctic Bat sports Hulk Hogan's weight belt. Yeah, he just won some sort of division championship there, didn't he? Anyway, that was it, I believe, for the entire... And that, by the way, that was the panel I forgot to put in, by the way. Jim was 100% right. He said earlier, he said Chris forgot to put the Arctic Bats one in, didn't he? And I'm like, yes, that's exactly what I forgot to put in. And that's why I didn't tell Pat. Because I didn't tell you, did I, when I was doing this beforehand? And yeah.
No. Yeah, I didn't know what one it was. I thought that it was a different one that you were confirming.
Could you imagine? That would have been even more fun, wouldn't it? Just randomly lie.
No, there was another post earlier on that somebody had made about Disney and not wanting to own toys. I thought that was the fact that you were confirming.
No, nowhere near that. Keeping it very distant from anything Disney related. I don't want to get the mouse on me.
Anyway, that is everything from the interview. That was a cracking interview. Thanks to Lenny and Emily one more time for doing that for me. And of course, the team at Hasbro for hooking that up for me as well. Awesome. That's it then for the news. We shall move into... Oh, J-Mac, sorry, you just said this is another thing to talk about. Did you show the 3-0 Firefly? No, not yet, but I believe... you sent me loads of images of that, didn't you? And I should probably post them. So the 3-0 Fireflies started landing in places as well, and it looks pretty cool. But we'll you know, that'll be on the page. That'll be on the socials at some point. Let's get on with shout-outs next, though.
Have you tried Hoarder yet? No? Well, you need to. If you have a collection of things and want to create a fun and easy way of organising it and, of course, showing it off, then get involved. You can post items and build collections, and you can drop a status like getting a fun delivery or seeing some awesome related stuff on your travels. Build your collections with Hoarder. The app is free to download on Google Play and the App Store, so what are you waiting for? Get to hoarding.
Out, starting with you, Pat. Who have you got?
I'm gonna shout out to Philip, but I'm not gonna apologize this week because I've been working my butt off.
So it's more of a screw you, Phil.
No. We should have an episode of Articulated Points coming up in the next few days. I'm hoping to have it out by Sunday, which I guess that's tomorrow. Can somebody add a 31st to April just so that I have more time to get it out this month? That would be really cool.
I always feel that way when we haven't done the monthly recording yet and it's like the 20-somethingth and I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to have much time to get this done.
Yeah.
Oh, that's another good shout, Jim Smith. Yeah, I forgot about this, by the way. The voice of Zorana. I didn't know it was you. Is making her first autograph appearance here in Lake George, New York tomorrow. Yeah, I did see that. And also, isn't she going to Joe Fest as well? I think she is going to Joe Fest as well.
Yes, that was just announced. Yeah.
And I forgotten her name, and I feel bad. So I'm going to quickly get it so that I can say it. It is Lisa Raggio.
I didn't know that was her.
His name, yeah. And yeah, that's really, really cool. So yeah, if you get an opportunity to speak to her, go say hi. Go, of course, go up to her. She loves it when you go, Sarana, I didn't know it was you.
She's going to be getting a lot of that, not knowing why.
Yeah, she probably will have no idea. So everybody do it who sees it. But Jim, thank you for letting that one out. Yeah, everyone's letting me know. It's Lisa Raggio. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. Or is it Raggio? Is it Raggio or Raggio? You'll have to let me know. I want to make sure I'm saying her name correctly.
Raggio.
Raggio? Is that how you say it?
I don't know. I'm curious.
Say Lisa Raggio, because that sounds cool. Pat's put a much better like intonation on it there. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I don't know how it's said. I'm curious. I always just like to know how people pronounce their own names so I can get it the way that they want it.
I've had all sorts of funny pronunciations of my name, so I totally understand that frustration when I get other people's names terribly wrong.
Like Christopher? Is that?
Christ. Op. Her. Close. Close. McLeod is the one I'm kind of getting out there, Pat. It's the McLeod part.
You probably get a lot of McLeod.
McLeod, McLeod is a good one.
McLeod
is a good one.
I never would have thought.
All sorts. McLeod, yeah. McCloud is another one. This is the best one, right? High school assembly, the first year, I think, first year of high school, we're in the assembly and our, what you call home ec teacher, we called, it was design and technology, but the home version. So just making brownies, basically. the tutor came to the front. I will always lose complete respect for her because she destroyed me in front of everybody in my first like week at school. In the assembly, she refers to me out loud as the name. She's going through a list of names as Christmas Clown. Christmas Clown. Can you believe that? How do you do that? And then obviously my life was ruined from that moment on in high school. Thanks. Anyway, so if you want to call me Christmas Clown next time you see me, I always love that. If you're going to go up to Lisa Raggio or Reggio and say, Serana, I didn't know it was you, then I must have that back to me because that's just as bad. Anyway, shout out to Phil. You'll get your articulated points, you absolute... I won't say any horrible words.
I will get it done very soon. If it's not Sunday, I'll be sad. But it should be sometime soon.
You'll get it when you get it, Phil. Wind your neck in. Right. this is not an apology for once. Shout out to the fam, to mum and dad and the UK fam in the UK, and to all my US crew as well. And of course, Kate and Phoebes. Love you guys very much. Thank you for all the support. To Brian Sauer for the amazing graphics, as always. Thank you so much for doing some last minute stuff for me as well, bud, this week. Much appreciated. The figure six pack says, Chris, are you related to a Duncan or a Fox McLeod? Well, do you know what's funny there, actually, figure six pack, is I would get Highlander jokes all the time, but I wouldn't mind because the Highlander's amazing. And Ace McLeod from Centurions and Fox McLeod, which you've mentioned there from Star Fox. McLeod got a good rep in general. So I'm not bothered at all being associated with some pretty cool McLeods.
There was just a show in the 80s called McLeod.
There was.
It wasn't spelled like McLeod, but you know, it was, you know, spelled like clouds. But yeah.
I used to get a lot of clouds jokes as well. Yeah. A lot of like my ancestors were from the clouds, and I'm like, well, yeah, kind of. They were from the Isle of Skye, so it's like even more like on point, isn't it? Basically, MacLeod comes from son of Leod. There were Vikings that came down into Scotland and the Isle of Skye, and they kind of landed in the Isle of Skye. And anyway, sorry, you're getting a bit of a history lesson here, guys, because obviously Muck means son of, basically. But anyway, it's a cool name. Oh. I like it.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. Yeah.
You learn something.
I don't
something
know where new. Stuart comes from.
You learn something. No, actually, Stuart's Scottish, isn't
Stuart
it?
Stuart is Scottish as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Is. Probably has the same kind of scenario going on. Probably has a bit of Viking ancestry in there. You'll have to do a DNA thing.
I've done a DNA thing. I'm a lot Scottish and German.
Yes. Yeah. Samesies. Anyway, what was this? Yeah. Shout outs. Now, this was one that I didn't do as a video because I didn't think it was worth it. But still wouldn't, like, you know, make it known. Entertainment Earth did post a Drop Zone pre-order for G.I. Joe. It turned out to be a Super 7 bundle, which is actually well worth it to even discuss on here as well. Because for $165, you can get four bats or that first wave of figures. For $165, that's effectively a free figure, isn't it, Pat?
It is, yeah, for sure. And one of the things that may also be worth noting, because if we set it next week, it would be too late, is that this is the last week to get the newest wave with that pre-order bonus from Super7.com for the next wave of Ultimates as well.
Good shout. Thank you, Pat. Picking up on the balls that I drop, I appreciate it. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So again, link in the description if you want to jump in on that, guys. Figure six pack says, dang, that price is the cost of my electric bill. I feel your pain. Diana says, that bundle picture looks like a Queen album. I see a little silhouette of a man. Anyway, yes, brilliant. So that's that. Also, shout out to Skeletron, who posted first shots of their vintage kind of style O-ring figures for basically the first shots. And there's an explanation of what first shots are. Basically, the first figures made from the steel molds created to test to see if the molds are working correctly. They don't have copyright dates usually and may be shot in either production or non-production colors. First shots do not have paint applications applied. There's all the information you need. Pat doesn't even need to... They don't need to do anything on this one, Pat. But you can, if you want to, do some elaboration on it, if you would like.
I'm really excited to see these. I like that they use that definition first shot. I did help actually on the list of definitions over there on Jota Classified. That was it was fun going through those.
I remember you talking about that. I think we did a AR panel, and you talked about having to like do like definitions for certain things, and it was like there's almost like arguments breaking out during it and stuff like that.
Well, as there kind of should be, because the difficulty of putting definitions on those things is that they're just kind of tech collector terms that emerged over time, and they do have meaning. So of course you have to put definitions to them, but you could also call these like an EP1, which, you know, depending on who you are, like at one point I thought, well, first shot would be like a something collectors made up, but the factory would have called them an EP1. But then like I was talking to my friend that's in manufacturing. He's like, no, they're test shots. This would be a first shot. It's like, well, okay. So and I also think that in more modern times, the people working on this stuff also see the collector terms on a regular basis and start using them. So it's kind of hard to find the origin of some terms.
Yeah, totally. But at least, in this case, this is what we're looking at. We're looking at some first shots of these amazing looking figures.
I love the proportions of them. I like everything that's going on here. It looks straight up like it's going to fit in right next to those other figures. And it is nice to have something new that is an O-ring format.
There you go. I knew you'd be happy. And then obviously they gave even more updates on a recent update as well this week. The cockpit floor has changed slightly from the original prototype. So the design has definitely had way more detail applied to it. You can see all those little different panels, the kind of the movement, the change of where those kind of like those little kind of like hexagonal shapes have been shifted.
Is that six. Where the seat plugs in? Is that what that is? The cockpit floor? Because it's a hexagonal shape. I would assume that that's, you know, for, because they have the two different sizes, whether it's 3 3/4 or 6 inch that fit inside.
Yeah, I imagine that's exactly what that is for the kind of locking into place. I just like the fact there's more detail in it now than just a kind of a flat kind of surface. Yeah. Loads more kind of paneling, lines. Again, nice little kind of detailing. Really, really cool looking. Cannot wait to see this thing finalized. My goodness. And again, the final design of the rear thrusters as well have added, changed a few details, but added even more kind of interesting elements to it. And again, I think for the better on there as well. Would you say, Pat?
Yeah, for sure. I can't get this thing in hand soon enough, though.
Yeah, same. Hurry up, Ben and Skeletron. Get this thing done, Ben and Mark. This is the thing that's connected to me, and that is the vinyl covers front and back for the vinyl that's coming along with this particular project. I get to drive it by Word Burglar. It's an absolute banger, by the way. And I think those who were in on the actual pre-order of this particular beauty of the actual, you know, vehicle and all that kind of stuff, the Kickstarter and all that jazz, have already managed to get that MP4 downloaded as well. So you'll be able to hear Wolf Like Me by Cosmic Orphan and the track that I produced with Word Burglar, I Get to Drive It, which is amazing, by the way. Word Burglar is just the best, man. I love working with Word Burglar. Got some more cool stuff on the horizon with him, by the way. That's all I can say. Also, massive shout out to Bob Breakin and Brian Hickey. This epic Kickstarter project book is going to be coming very soon. The landing page, link in the description if you want to go get in there and maybe make a reminder of this one. My Palatoy Story by Bob Breakin, designed by Brian Hickey. This thing is going to be epic. Are you excited for this, Pat?
I am, yeah. It's interesting to look at G.I. Joe as an international item to me, because obviously going back to all the stories at Hasbro is incredibly important, but there were a ton of things, you know, I'm sure I don't know all the details, which is why I'm interested in this, but I already know that there are a ton of things that were pivotal to early G.I. Joe that were actually the creation of Palatoy and not Hasbro. So it's going to be really neat to see this, this key piece of G.I. Joe history brought into a book. I'm looking forward to it.
So excited. Diana Davis also says, shout out to my sister-in-law, Katie, and husband, Albert, who paid for my SDCC room and they found out my last reservation was messed up by Marriott and I couldn't afford to get the ones left. Awesome, Diana. Shout out to Katie and Albert. That's awesome. Right then, and I think that's everything. It is. Thank you to our listeners. And wow, I just realized how long we've been doing this. My bad. Thank you guys for joining us on the longest episode I think we've ever done of the weekly. I don't think we've got this far in the past.
No, we've gotten this far in the past. It's just been a while.
It's been a long time, hasn't it? Thank you guys, all the listeners, viewers, patrons, all of you guys. I know the patrons have been getting a lot of stuff recently. I hope you've been enjoying all of the Intel episodes and all of the live episodes I've been doing with you guys. Got another one for you next week, of course. Now, what have we got on deck for you guys? Lots of things. We've got a big BOA and a Mutton Junkyard video coming very soon, a Let's Talk Classified of both of those, kind of name-only deep dives. We've got more news this week, I would imagine. I would hope so. Otherwise, we've got nothing to talk about next week. And then what else is on? There's a lot. We've got to do the next monthly, Pat. We've got to do that as well soon. We'll figure it all out. Yeah, we'll do it. We've got to do the unboxing. That's what I was going to say. The Super 7 unboxing we've got to do soon, haven't we?
We need to do that. Yes, very soon.
Right. We will make that the next priority, and we'll look to do like a combined opening. It'll probably be a pre-recorded job, but we will get that done, guys. Okay. Massive thank you to all of you wonderful viewers and listeners. Pat, thanks so much for joining me on the show today. It's been a blast.
Always fun. Thanks again.
You know what to do at the end of these episodes, guys. After three, one, two, three,
full force.
I suppose I should press this button now, right?
Yeah.
Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/The Full Force. And if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos, or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/The Full Force Podcast, or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.